Thank you, Cindy, and the Lord's blessing. What a wonderful message that is. Without him, we would be in a real mess. But praise be to God that he allowed his son to come to this earth to save you and me from our sins. Actually, he came to save the whole world. Sadly, most of the world doesn't realize this. But you who are a believer in Jesus Christ and follow him and put all of your trust in him, then you have him in your life. And you are not without him. He is with you forever and forever. Praise be to God. For those who may be new to our congregation, it's important for you to know that this congregation stands on the Bible as the Word of God. All 66 books, 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New, 66 in total. If you and I read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and learn from the Word of God, then we will be given information that the world does not have. There are millions and millions of people out there who have absolutely no idea what is important in life. And they don't know because they do not know what the Word of God contains. But we as believers, we know what's important in life. And not only that, we get the divine perspective on all that's going on this earth today and a divine perspective, the divine perspective on what is going to happen in the future. And I believe in many ways in the very near future. Now, there's a word that you may hear in this congregation. You hear it often. And the word is called the rapture. But there may be some among us today who have not heard of the word rapture. Does it appear in Scripture? No, it does not. But the concept appears in Scripture. And what is the rapture? The rapture is a divine event that's going to take place sometime in our future. I believe not too distant from now. In fact, there are some Bible students who think that it just may happen this September, but who really knows? But the rapture is going to come. And what it means is every true believer in Jesus Christ is going to be caught up and taken to be in glory with him. Those who do not put their trust in him will be left behind. And this world being left behind is going to be in a state of absolute turmoil. However, the rapture is going to occur. It is scriptural. It is in the Word of God. And based on the Word of God, we teach it without apology. We want everyone to know that the rapture is coming and we need to be prepared. Believers will be taken out of the world. Unbelievers will be left behind. Now, following this great extraction of true believers, can you imagine what it's going to be like? It's hard for me to believe. Someone said to me on one occasion, "How is the Lord going to do it?" Someone else said, "It almost seems preposterous that this is going to happen." But the truth of the matter is the Word of God tells us it's going to happen, and therefore it is going to happen. This great extraction of true believers, the body of Christ, from the earth, one prophecy teacher called it the snatching away. It will be the snatching away of people, true believers in Christ, to be in glory with him. And then following that rapture, not necessarily immediately, but soon thereafter, comes a period that the Scripture tells us is known as the tribulation. Whatever the Word of God has for us, it's important for you and for me. And the tribulation in Scripture is known by a number of words. For example, it's called the tribulation. It's also called the day of the Lord, or the day of vengeance of God. And the Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." Now, if somebody hurts you or upsets you or bothers you or embarrasses you or whatever, you and I are not to take vengeance. We are to pray for that person. Vengeance is of God. God will dish out the vengeance that's required on this world at the appropriate time. We leave that in God's hands. This time of tribulation is a time of God's vengeance against the world who has turned their back on him. It's also called the 70th week of Daniel's dream. Now, if you have studied Scripture and studied the prophet Daniel, you will know that he had a dream of 70 weeks. Now, it gets a little complicated because really it's 7 times 7 years, so it ends up to be 7 sevens or 490 years. But 69 of those years have happened. Then there's a great space between when the 69th year closed, coming of the Messiah, and then there's a space. People didn't know. I don't think Daniel knew at the time that that space is the church age. The church age is from the time of Pentecost until the rapture of the church. That's the church age. And that is the 70th week of Daniel's dream, which means 7 years of tribulation. I know that gets a little complicated. Through further study, we can understand it. It's also called the time of troubles as never before. The time of troubles as never before. Now, we have been studying in the past while when I've been preaching, and we're going to study ultimately 9 signs of the tribulation period. So far, we have looked at 2 of them, and this morning, the Lord willing, we'll look at the third one. Fact number 1 was the symbolism of the 4 horsemen, called the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, when you're reading the book of Revelation, you will note in chapter 6 that it talks about these 4 horsemen. And there's a white horse, there is a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. And these horses symbolize what is coming. The white horse symbolizes a leader, not Jesus, but one who will become a world dictator in this world during the tribulation period. The red horse is one that indicates bloodshed. Now, the world dictator is going to come in a peaceful way. People are going to be attracted to him like a magnet attracts metal. But there's going to be a lot of bloodshed involved, whether people realize it or not. And then there is the black horse, and the black horse refers to famine. It's interesting that there are places in the world today where famine is reigning supreme. It's really going to reign supreme during the tribulation. Many years ago, Dr. Billy Graham wrote a book, The Approaching Hoofbeats. The hoofbeats are the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. And we are in that age now when the hoofbeats are sounding. The horsemen, the riders of the horses haven't arrived yet, but nonetheless, we know that they are coming. And then there's the pale horse, and the pale horse has 2 riders on it, Death and Hades, and it refers to a time of great pestilence, a time of great disease, and then finally, death. Now, those are the first 2 items. Today, the Lord willing, we're going to look at the 3rd of the 9th sign, and that 3rd sign is the false prophet. Throughout history, there have emerged many false prophets, people who have led other people astray. I'm amazed sometimes when I look back at history and even at some things that are happening in our world today. There are false prophets that have emerged, and what amazes me is the number of people, or are the number of people, who follow that false prophet. Many of them have followed those leaders to their doom. They have not been led to heaven. They have been led to a place called hell. That's what's happening in our world. There have been many, many false prophets. There are religious systems that are taking place in our world today, even as we speak. And these systems are not based on the Word of God, and they are leading people astray. What a shame. What an upset. People are being led to hell, not to heaven. To hell and eternal destruction, not to heaven and eternal life. During the tribulation period, there will be 2 key personages that will emerge. They will be 2 evil personages that will emerge. There will be 2 godly personages that will emerge, which we'll talk about later. But now the 2 evil ones. There's going to be the Antichrist, or the world leader, or the world dictator. He is pure evil. The second one is the false prophet, or a world religious leader, or a world religious dictator. Previously, we discovered the profile of the Antichrist. Now let us observe the profile of the false prophet. But first of all, I would like to remind you that it is important for believers to know what's ahead. Why is it important? It's important because if we do not know what is unfolding and what is happening, we have a jaundiced view of what really is taking place. We are likely to think all that's taking place is under the control of every government, and governments are under control, and they're doing things that you and I do not agree with. That's what's happening in our world today and in our country today. There are governments that are taking positions that are absolutely anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-Bible. And we discover anti-Christian as well. This world leader is going to come, two of them, the world dictator and the world religious leader, and they are going to fool millions of people. People are going to be drawn into their trap, and they are going to be caught, and they will never be able to get out. Why is it important for you and for me to know? It's important for us to know so that we can inform our families and our friends and our neighbors and the people whom we know and the people whom we love. We want to give them the true perspective, which is the perspective that comes from the very word of God. We do not want them to be fooled. We want them, through the power of the Holy Spirit and perhaps working through you and through me, to come to know Jesus, to put their trust in him as their Savior and as their Lord. We sang earlier, "It is well with my soul." And it is well with my soul if we know Christ as our Savior and Lord. And if we do not know him as Savior and Lord, I can tell you it is not well with your soul or with mine, for that matter. It is not well with our soul when that happens. We read this in Scripture, Revelation 13:11. "Then I," that would be John, "saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon." Two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Isn't it interesting that John has used the lamb and dragon in the same sentence? He comes like a lamb, gentle, but he speaks like a dragon. We're going to see in this that he may speak good, but there's going to be great evil. The false prophet will deceive many. And let's keep in mind that Satan will be inhabiting both the world dictator and the false prophet, the world religious leader, all influenced by Satan. Now, we notice that Satan counterfeits God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's called the Trinity. There's the Holy Trinity, and there's the unholy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is on the left side of the screen: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On the right-hand side of the screen is the coming unholy Trinity. Satan will think that he's God the Father. The Antichrist will think that he's God the Son. And the false prophet will act like God's Holy Spirit. These are sad situations when they happen. It's going to happen. It's before us. They are an unholy Trinity. This morning, in the Lord willing, of course, we're going to look at this false prophet. We're going to look at four key topics: his purpose, his power, his program, and his punishment. But first of all, let us hear the word of God. We find this in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." Incidentally, let me interrupt this reading. Look at the things that this evil one is going to do. Look at the power that's placed in him. And he is going to confuse the world. Go back to verse 11 again. Thank you. Let's read it again. "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name." This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Startling revelation. Startling things of those that are to come. That's why it's important for you and for me to know the purpose of the false prophet. Let's keep in mind that the false prophet and the Antichrist work together. They are both directed by Satan. Look at this as we see it on the screen. He, now that is the false prophet, exercised all the authority of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. Very interesting passage. Matthew tells us that Jesus received authority from his Father. Likewise, the Antichrist is going to receive his authority from none other than Satan. The primary purpose of God's Holy Spirit is to glorify the Son. The primary purpose of the false prophet is to pretend that he's Jesus, and he's going to be glorifying the first beast, not glorifying the Son at all. The false prophet will come on the scene as a religious leader. Remember now, Christians have been removed from the church. I mean, the church has been removed from the earth. We are gone out of here. We are with the Lord forever. Who's left behind? They are not Christian. They are not followers in Jesus Christ. Many of them had a chance before the rapture. They didn't take advantage of that opportunity, and therefore they are left behind. The false prophet, of course, will discourage anyone placing his or her trust in Jesus and will encourage all people to worship and to bow down to the world dictator. Amazing as it seems, the false prophet will deliberately steer people away from the word of God. He will say, this is not true. That's what Satan has done all along. He doubted. He said to Eve, do you really think that God said? He put doubt in Eve's mind. He places doubt in the mind of people. This is his strategy. He does it time and time again, over and over again. And this Satan is working through the world dictator and the false prophet and leading them to lead many people away from any kind of trust in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Religion overall has had a powerful influence down through the ages. And the Antichrist and the false prophet will be using a form of religion in order to lead people astray and not lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of the false prophet. Then there's the power of the false prophet. Make no mistake about it, the false prophet will exercise enormous power. We read in his word, and he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. In brief summary, the Antichrist receives his power from Satan. The false prophet receives his power from Satan and through the Antichrist. This reminds me of our blessed Savior's words when he said, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, even the believers. Satan is trying to deceive them, trying now. He's not going to give up until his day of doom appears. You and I need to be on guard. We need to be ready. What are these deceiving signs? Well, he's going to call fire down from heaven. It's not the first time that we read in Scripture that judgment of God has come down in the form of fire. If you remember the Old Testament, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the homosexual activities that were taken on during that time, God said enough is enough, and fire and sulfur and brimstone came down and destroyed the city. I often wonder how long it's going to be before God says enough is enough and fire and brimstone are going to come down on certain parts of our world today because of the way in which they are absolutely turning their backs on the word of God and trying to say that good is bad and bad is good. Another time, fire was used. There were two priests that did unpriestly things in the temple in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, and they were consumed by fire. God's judgment came down upon them. God's judgment is ever before us. Thanks be to God that Jesus has taken our judgment for us, and that we before God are holy. Oh, you and I may not look like it, act like it, think like it, but because of Jesus living within us, in the sight of God, we are holy. Praise be to God. There's also going to be fire that'll come down at the end of this world. All the elements are going to melt, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. All of those things are going to take place, but that happens sometime after the tribulation. Sadly, many people will see the power of the false prophet, and they will turn their attention to him. Not only is he going to be able to cause fire to come down from heaven onto this earth, at his will, I might say, he will also commission an image to be built. And this is not just any normal, ordinary image. It's going to be a sculpture, an image of the Antichrist, of the world dictator. This world dictator somehow suffers a mortal head wound and then comes back to life again. And this false prophet has erected this statue in honor of the world dictator and wants everybody to bow down and worship him. And the scripture says, an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Somehow, this Antichrist is going to be wounded. Don't know how? It says by the sword. We'll wait and see. We'll see it from the realms of glory, not here from earth. But then Jesus referred to this image of the Antichrist in his Olivet discourse. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now there's another little hint in there, a hint that we might miss. And the hint is, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. What is the holy place? The holy place is the Holy of Holies. Where was the Holy of Holies? In the temple in Jerusalem. Is there a temple in Jerusalem now? No, but there will be during the tribulation. There's lots of rumor going around today that it started now. They have prefabricated. As soon as they get the site, they will put it up in a matter of months. Keep your eye on Jerusalem. Jerusalem is important in the sight of God, and we need to keep our eyes focused there. But this evil false prophet is going to erect a statue of the world leader, and everybody bow down and worship him. That's the abomination of desolation to which Jesus was referring, appearing in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. So the temple has to be there. And it may not be long before it is there. And if it doesn't come before the rapture, it'll come immediately thereafter. Now, there's the third one. The third one, he causes the image to breathe and speak. Now remember, this is, I don't know whether it's a metal image or a stone image, sculpture, whatever it is, but it's going to breathe and to speak. Now, many years ago, this would have been absolutely impossible, but in our present age, we think of artificial intelligence. We think of holograms. We think of all of those things that are available. And who knows exactly what this is going to look like? It may just be because he has the power to do so, or it may be through artificial intelligence or holographs. Whatever it may be, this image is going to speak to the people, and people are going to be awed, and they're going to bow down to him. The power of the false prophet will confer credibility on the Antichrist and enable Satan to complete his insidious program of deception right through to the final days. These are serious times. The purpose of the false prophet, the power of the false prophet, and the program of the false prophet. We need to keep in mind that any good influence by the Church of Jesus Christ, any good influence of the Holy Spirit working through you and me, working through the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world, will be gone, will not be here on earth. So all that's left is the world dictator and the false religious leader. They're the two who are leading millions of people. Now, praise be to God, there will be people who will finally come to the point to say, oh my goodness, I should have placed my trust in Christ when I had the chance, and I did not. And then during the tribulation, they will come to know him. I'll say more about that in a moment. But we read this. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So what this means is people are going to have to bow down and worship the Antichrist. And if they do not, the false prophet will try to force them to do so. And if they do, they have a mark on their wrist or a mark on their forehead, showing their allegiance to him. Now, every now and then, we hear about modern technology and its advancements. We hear about chips that can be inserted under your skin to give the medical staff complete knowledge of your medical history. We hear about this, and often these things come in as though they are going to be good for us. But there's a time coming when there's going to be this mark of the beast. You will not be able to buy or sell. You'll not be able to do anything because you haven't sworn allegiance. Now, there will be two groups of people in those left behind who will not receive the mark of the beast. They will not bow down and worship. Who are the two groups of people? Group number one is 144,000, 12,000 Jews from 12 of the tribes of Judah, 144,000. There'll be evangelists going throughout the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some will believe, many will not, but they will not receive the mark of the beast. Then there's another group of people. Who are they? They are the people who finally realized they should have placed their trust in Jesus as Savior before the rapture. Before the rapture. They did not. And now they're saying, regardless of what comes, I'm now going to put my trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And they will not, pardon me, receive the mark of the beast in their forehead or on their wrist. People need to know about this. People whom you love, who haven't accepted Jesus, need to know this. There is a time coming, and I believe with all my heart, and in fact, I've been looking recently on the internet, which is a great way to get information, but I've been looking at many prophecy teachers, and prophecy teachers over and over are saying, the time of the Lord's appearing is nearer than it ever has been. Now, we know this, but it's really near, and they're believing that he could come at any time. And I believe he could come at any time. And you and I need to have our ears attuned to the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel. When all of this happens and we are caught up, we are raptured to be with him forever and forever. This Antichrist, this false prophet, they are going to do terrible, terrible things. Now, without being able to buy anything, buy or sell, just think of it. Some of us may remember back to World War II. That's a long ways back. But some may remember the effects of rationing. You had little ration coupons that you could give, and that would allow you to buy sugar, allow you to buy something else. And if you didn't have a ration coupon, you couldn't buy it. We sort of had that during COVID. The same kind of thing is going to happen during the tribulation. You have the mark of the beast, you'll be able to buy, you'll be able to sell. Food, clothing, shelter. You do not have the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell. You will not be able to, and sad to say, many of the believers, the then believers, will be executed for their faith because they will not bow down to the Antichrist. What about the punishment of the Antichrist? But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped the image. Notice the word deluded? Two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, this is an amazing ending, a terrible ending for these two world leaders. But remember, They led millions of people away from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their whole purpose in life was to turn people away from the triune God. There are things and events and influences today that are turning people away from the Word of God. I read just recently that 40,000 Christians, former Christians, in the United States have turned their back on God, and they have gone into the occult, and they've gone into other areas which would be anti-God. This just happened in the last year. I don't know how they found out these statistics, but nonetheless, they're there. You and I have to be on guard. Satan is going to try and lead us and lead us and lead us. It's terrible what's going to happen. What about the millions who were deceived? The millions who were cajoled and forced to take the mark of the beast, they too will end up into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And they are there forever and forever and forever. As we, the Church of Christ, are in glory for all eternity, they will be in the place, the fiery fire of burning sulfur for all eternity. Now, this is shattering news, but it ought to stimulate you and me to talk about the love of God, to talk about the good news, to talk to other people, their need and the requirement that they have to put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Without doubt, this is a fallen world, and it seems to be going downhill at a faster and faster speed. As Christians, we are not called to a life which gives us all comfort and safety. We are called to a life of commitment to God, a commitment to our Savior, Jesus Christ, a commitment to allowing God's Holy Spirit to work through us so that we can reach out, first of all, to our families, and secondly, to others with the true knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that all who are in our congregation today, that you have placed all of your trust and continue to place all of your trust in Jesus as Savior. We hear these words, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Think of these words. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. The soul lives on forever and forever. Those who think that when we die physically, that's the end, they're wrong. We do die physically. Our soul, spirit, mind, personality go out into eternity. Where does it go into eternity? It goes to be with Jesus forever and forever, or goes to be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. One or two. There's no in-between place. Sometimes we hear about a place called purgatory. There is no purgatory. When we die, we don't go into a holding tank waiting to see whether we go one place or the other. When we die, we go into eternity, either to heaven or into hell. I pray that you, all of us, that we are going to see Jesus, that we'll hear that trumpet, and it will be well with your soul and mine. Came across this saying just yesterday. We often hear, life is short, better enjoy it. But hear this, how about eternity is long, better prepare for it. Father, we thank you for your love, your care, and your blessing. We thank you for your word. We don't pretend to understand it all, but we understand enough to know that vengeance is yours, to know that there is judgment coming, to know that there are people who have not and will not place their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then there are those who will. I pray that all who are present today have already placed their full trust in you, Jesus. They know who you are. You're the Son of God. They know that you came to this earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to pay for their sins. Lord, we thank you. Words are not enough to say thank you, but we say it with deep meaning. Lord, may by the power of your Holy Spirit, touch every soul in this building today, and may each one, young or old, continue either put their trust to begin with or to continue to put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.